A reading from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Thanks be to God.
When you first hear the scripture from John that we listen to today, You can't help but think that maybe John missed the mark a bit. There's no angels, no shepherds, no wise men, none of the usual elements of the Christmas story we're so used to. John's telling of the story is in stark contrast to some of the other Gospels and gives an entirely different message. For John, it was vital that the message made a different point. And he chooses this different way of telling the story of Jesus, using different words and different language to make himself and his point understood. Words are important. They carry and convey our meaning, and we use them to express and portray ourselves. I think we can all relate to times when we've tried to be clear and understood, and how hard that is, often ending in miserable failure. This reminded me of a time when, no matter what I tried, I could not be understood. Having an accent like I do makes for interesting challenges sometimes, especially in drive-throughs, when I have to speak into that little machine and make myself understood. A few years ago, I was taking a couple of friends out for a meal. These friends are wheelchair users and non-verbal, so couldn't help me at all in the situation I found myself in. And they really, really wanted McDonald's for their dinner. So against my better judgment, I agreed, and we went to the drive-thru so we could take our food to the beach and enjoy the meal looking at the ocean. I ordered the meals with no problem, but when we got to the drinks, it was a different story. "Would you like water with those Happy Meals?" said the voice in the box. "No, Coke, please," I replied. "Was that coffee?" said the box. "No, Coke, please." "Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have any cake," the voice responded. "No, not cake, Coke, please," I replied, desperately trying hard not to get frustrated, because that makes me even more British. Coffee?" ventured the increasingly quiet voice in the box. After a few more attempts to be understood, I had the bright idea to ask for 2 Pepsis, please. And the reply I got, "I'm sorry, we only have Coke products. Is that okay?" So we need to pick and choose our words carefully, understanding the importance of them and the message we are trying to convey. There has been much in the media lately on the use of words. Who can use them? Where and when? My seminary sister, Kristen Joyner, posted a powerful message of her own in response to this. "I love this season where we await a fetus, born of an unmarried woman, who in his arrival becomes our evidence-based prophecy. He was one who fought for the vulnerable people in all their diversity and offers hope, love, and peace to all, never saying a bad word about the oppressed, the lonely, the widows, or the transgendered. The political king's entitlements are now at stake, people growing more curious about the kingdom of God. Love, we know from science-based research, helps to heal others. We are reminded in this season to love one another. Using words that hurt one another is not good. Using words that allow us to be loving and bear truth is good. God is with us." We all retell our stories differently, picking up different messages or areas we find important. And that's exactly what John is doing. For him, the most important thing about Jesus is that the Word became flesh. How that happened is less important than that it happened. We just sang the Christmas carol, "What Child Is This?" which is a fitting response to this message of John's. What is this child we are waiting for? John launches straight into telling us exactly who and what Jesus is, by taking us right back to the beginning of the Hebrew Bible, to the book of Genesis, talking about creation and God's new creation in Christ, the Word of God made flesh. For John, this was the most important part of the story. The Word of God in human form come amongst us. To come amongst us all, each and every one of us, this incarnation changes God's relationship to humanity and humanity's relationship to God. And from John's prologue, we learn that because of Jesus, who embodies God's grace and takes on human flesh, we are given the chance to know God and see ourselves as those children who are beloved of God. John's introduction is like a hymn to the Word, a song for Jesus, the Christ born amongst us, a Christmas carol of the greatest kind. And this amazing message changes how we see ourselves and how we see one another, the way we live, our actions, and our words. It means that Christmas cannot be limited to simply an event which we celebrate once a year. Instead, Christmas is a life to be lived, a way of being. As people living in worlds of electronic connections and impersonal relationships, we long for unity and union at almost every level of our lives. Imagine hearing the words, "You are special," or "I love you unconditionally," and how that makes us feel when we hear them from our parents, our mentors, our partners, or our children. It's a feeling which is hard to describe and yet which we yearn for. We long to be acknowledged, to have someone say, "You are important to me," or "What happens to you matters to me." What a powerful gift it would be this Christmas for us to approach someone and tell them, "You are God's gift, and I see God's light in you." It is on hearing these words that the most unlimited potential for the good, the true, and the beautiful is awakened within us. It is these words that lie at the heart of the incarnation of God into our lives as Jesus. We as Christians know clearly the path of the disciple which we are called to follow, and that this path means dying to our own selves such that Christ can be born in us. This is Christian reincarnation. Jesus is reincarnated in every Christian as the Word of love, compassion, forgiveness, healing, and peace. The incarnation of the Word of God into human flesh happens first in Jesus, and that is what we are celebrating this Christmas time. But the incarnation doesn't end there. The incarnation of the Word is the ongoing fruit of the transformation of our lives and of our discipleship. And this is the gift of Christmas, a new identity, a new opportunity, a new humanity, all through God in Christ. This is the gift of Christmas, and it deserves our full attention today and every day. So what is our call from John's telling of the birth of Jesus, the arrival of the Word on earth? It is for us as beloved children of God to become also God's activity in the world, to come in grace, mercy, and love, that the light may continue shining on even in the darkest of places. Howard Thurman's wonderful poem, "The Work of Christmas," is a great response to John's description of the coming of Christ among us. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, then the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. So I conclude today with telling each of and every one of you, you are God's gift, and I see God's light in you. Amen.